March 14, 2023. My name is Jaron Jackson. I do love America. For me, it's always about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Always, always, always. His death, his burial, his resurrection. Believe in the gospel. Don't go to hell. Go to heaven. Amen. I want to talk about a couple different things today. I want to talk about meeting the master. The biggest news story in the world right now is the collapse of the banking industry. The collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and other banks around the country, around America, around the world. I want to talk about what I think is going on. In short, there's a big banker war, but the banker war is not just the bankers that are in charge of America and the globalists that are in the West. It's primarily a turf war. It's a turf war for which economy, which currency is going to be the future of the world moving forward. So on one hand, and this is just a gross oversimplification, I don't mean to do that to you, but for ease of understanding, we'll start with the big rocks and you can kind of move down to the nuances and the details after. You've got the hegemony of the United States propped up by the military-industrial complex. We have overseas adventurism and military warheads on foreheads type of negotiation actions going on in 2/3 of the world's countries. In fact, the United States has ambassadorships in 1/3 of the nations in the country, but we have a military presence in over 2/3 of the nations in the world. And so the military-industrial complex is a huge part of imposing America's empire. And this empire, I believe, is largely private actors. I don't believe that it is a government that's accountable to the people. But I also believe that this globalist framework is failing. I think that it's crumbling. I think that it was built on foundational values, biblical values, the Constitution, the common law, and I believe that the prosperity from America was so good and so profound that it made the greedy people, people in their greed exploited it, bought off politicians, did media, all sorts of stuff, and then used the military-industrial complex through lobbying and all sorts of stuff to then project their power. It's not a day or an area where the U.S. military doesn't do something that an American businessman, or doesn't have to be an American businessman, but some businessman comes in after. Now, this is not this would be considered a conspiracy theory, but if you look at it from that perspective, that order is falling. That global order is falling, and what's being risen up and what's being made in its place, kind of in the vacuum, almost this value exchange, is the fact that there is a new order led by the Chinese, and the Chinese have their own incentives, they have their own strategy. The Chinese have instituted the Belt and Road Initiative. It is a 100-year plan to literally take over the physical geography of Asia. Now, China doesn't have the ability to feed itself. China's population is aging because it's godless and they were butchering their babies with the one-child policy. And then a lot of Chinese people, because they have their traditions, they were wanting male babies and not female babies. So if one man and one woman had a baby, if the baby was a daughter, then they, just chop them up. Just kill her. Because they're secular, they hate Jesus, and so because they hate Jesus, they're going to kill their baby. And so a lot of Chinese couples were only allowed one baby, and many Chinese couples only wanted the baby to be a male. So what happens to a population that only has one baby, and the baby is predominantly male? You can't reproduce yourself. So you can't reproduce your population. So now you've got an aging population. They've got their own social systems. They have their own ability or their own government programs to take care of stuff. So you've got China that is ascending and it's got its global order and it's pursuing that in conjunction, I believe, with India and Russia through the Belt and Road Initiative, the littoral defense of the coasts around Asia. This is why they're building islands. This is why they're projecting their military power, their navy, into the South China Sea. So you've got this dynamic that's going on. Now I, as someone who believes the Bible, as someone who's a Christian, as someone who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ, and someone who believes that the kingdom of heaven is here and we're supposed to build it, I look at this and I go, how do you apply kingdomize? How do you apply the Bible to what's going on? I've said frequently that I think the most important thing in China is the underground church. The number of Christians in China the underground church is exploding. We've already established that less than 10%, like less than 7% of Chinese people are communists. The Communist Chinese Party is the ruling party in China, but it's less than 7% of the population. So as more and more people believe the gospel, more and more people behave as though Jesus wants them to behave because they're reading their Bible and they're believing what the Bible teaches, they're going to come into conflict, they're going to come into contrast with the government. It's going to happen. It's going to happen because if you're a Christian, you're picking a fight with the way of the world. You're not picking a fight with the way of the world because you hate people. You're picking a fight with the way of the world because you want the wisdom of God and the love of Jesus Christ to be everywhere. And so that's naturally going to cause division. So I think the underground church in China is the ticking time bomb that's going to implode that country. I also believe that the communists in China, though they want to take over the world, they've been exploiting the benefits of the American system. And so here you have, now we get back to our banks. So the banking story, the Silicon Valley Bank, there was an article from the Financial Times that came out yesterday, and it was speaking about the fact that there was a tie between Silicon Valley Bank and Chinese oligarchs. Listen to this. Quote, the failure of Silicon Valley Bank has left many Chinese funds and tech startups in the lurch, as the collapsed institution served as a key funding bridge for groups operating between China and the US. Silicon Valley Bank's abrupt takeover by US regulators on Friday has also cast doubt over the fate of its joint venture in China with the Shanghai Pudong Development Bank, which maintains a separate balance sheet and has total assets of RMB and 2 billion. So a lot of billions of rubles and $3 billion dollars. Or 3 billion, what's it called? What do they say in China? Yen. The Silicon Valley lender played a big role in China's dollar-based ecosystem for funding fledgling companies. Industry Insider said, with funds and startups often holding money at the bank before bringing it onshore to mainland China. Let me interpret this. The bankers' war that's going on is not just about getting the central bank digital currency in place for America. That's absolutely what the bankers in the Federal Reserve System want to do. That's absolutely what the Rothschilds want. That's what the JP Morgan people want. That is what the American bankers want, is they want a central bank digital currency. Their challenge is that people are not trusting them anymore. More and more nations are distrusting the petrodollar. This is why Saudi Arabia has been aligning with China. This is why Iran has been aligning with China. Not that Iran would align with America anyway, but it's been the influence of the petrodollar for decades that have made it to where the world has marched to the tune of the banker's petrodollar. The war drums of the United States have always been, for the last 60, 70 years, supporting the dollar. When you start to see that, and I learned this, about a decade plus ago, whenever I was on my first deployment to Afghanistan, I realized we're killing people that have no impact on the national security of the United States. Like, I remember killing somebody, not me, but I remember being in contact and walking over dead bodies going, why are we killing these guys? Which one of these guys, by defending their home in Afghanistan, is violating and hurting Americans overseas? How is my mom threatened by this guy right here? When that thought hit my head, October 5th, 2010, I realized I'm in the wrong spot. We're doing something wrong. At that point, I had already seen the military industrial complex with multi-billion dollar corporations, the CIA, give us weaponry, test weaponry, do all sorts of stuff. So, as someone who's been on the front lines, as someone who's led soldiers doing this, I recognize that this has been going on since at least I was 24. I'm 37 right now. It's been going on a lot longer from that. So, the U.S. military has been the force to impose the Western banker, liberal order, Rothschild, JP Morgan, Federal Reserve System. That's been the power, right? Like, that's been the power. Now you've got China that's ascending, and China is ascending because it's been exploiting through buying off politicians and Hollywood and stuff like that. And just the fact that the fruit of the American system is good. The fruit of a system that has God's wisdom as its foundation is going to be fruitful. Free market capitalism, right? Competition, investing. The law of compounding, mathematics and profit motive, those types of things are good things. So the wisdom of the founders of America loved Jesus. They instituted it, and by God's grace, he was faithful to the fruitfulness of his wisdom. So China, not being, you know, being godless, but not being completely stupid, recognized that it could put money in American banks, it could put money in American markets, it could exploit loopholes, like being part of the World Trade Organization's developing nations, like in 2002. In 2002, China said that, or China was able to be called by the World Trade Organization a developing nation, which meant that it didn't have to have certain tariffs placed on its goods, which means that it didn't have to cap its CO2 and kill its industries and do that type of stuff. But so because China has exploited the liberal New World Order of the Federal Reserve System, the bankers that's been in charge of the Western civilization, at the same time, China has been competing. And so now you have distrust of the American system, of the Federal Reserve System. Other nations are like rats jumping off the ship because they see it sinking. This is why, again, this is why Saudi Arabia has aligned with China. This is why, you know, other nations are starting to align with China. China was in Saudi Arabia last week, brokering a deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And those two countries hate each other, right? Those two countries hate each other. But China is doing that because America's weak. And America is weak because we've got a Biden president instead of a Trump president, because Trump was not a globalist. He was a nationalist. So Trump represented a domestic threat to the Federal Reserve System. And he was bringing in nationalism, which is going to destroy that world order, because we don't want overseas adventurism. We don't want a nation build. We don't want to go overseas and do those types of things. We want strong borders. We want those types of things. So all of this is tied together. All of this seems to be flowing. And I asked a question, or I at least want to talk about meeting your master. Because you can hear all this, and if you're listening to me, if you're watching me, thank you, by the way. Go ahead and share this. And the best way to support me is the links in the description to be a member at livelocal.store. Member at livelocal.store. It's Christian, gospel-advancing, Bible-focused content that speaks about my country, integrates my world view, my experience, talks about action steps for you to do something. Now, most people listening to conservative media, most people listening to the stuff that's going on today, they're going to be asked, what do we do about it? And most of the analysis is going to be looking at the banks, going, the banks are going to be crumbling. Go ahead, invest in gold. Go ahead and switch your 401k. And people right now are realizing, if they're paying attention to this, they're realizing that they're in a position of vulnerability. Well, I don't want to take away from that. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not an economic expert, nor am I a financial planner. But I did write the Live Local Field Manual 2 years ago. And the Live Local Field Manual 2 years ago, you can get that at livelocal.store if you want. The Live Local Field Manual has over 1,000 specific action steps that you can take simply to shorten your supply chain, to make yourself more resilient, and to align yourself and build your capacity for your neighbors. It covers militias. It covers going after fake officials. It tells you which banks to go to. And I wrote 2 years ago the value of going to community banks. Community banks aren't going to be beholden to the FDIC. They're not going to be beholden to the powers that are going on right now. So 2 years ago, you know, people in this audience, people listening to Jaron, people, and Jaron talking about the Live Local Field Manual, this is not because I know the future. It's because I read my Bible. It's because the Bible is teaching us and telling us how to live. And most of the people that have money in their big banks are sitting here thinking, I'm going to benefit from the fruits of a system without actually having to do anything about it. And while I don't deny that that's the case, understand that this entire system that I've been born into, that you've been born into, is this Federal Reserve privatized by color of law under the veneer of federal jurisdiction environment. And it's crumbling right now. It is absolutely crumbling. So now what do you do about this? This is why I want to talk about meet your maker. Now this, I've recognized this. My brother was watching yesterday, and as he was watching yesterday, he said, anytime that I talk about politics, people pay attention. And as soon as I start talking about Jesus, less people pay attention. And whenever I talk about common law, people just really stop paying attention. So it's interesting, because if you really want to know how to turn the screws on these people, then you would learn common law. If you really wanted to be able to be in a position where you're not flat-footed and made vulnerable by people who hate Jesus, hate America, and if they had the possibility, they would shoot you in the face, then you would read your Bible. Man, like, the Bible ain't dumb. The Bible's going to tell you how to live. It's going to tell you, most importantly, knowledge for salvation, the gospel. Amen. But God's just not going to say, believe in Jesus and everything's fine. He's going to say, believe in Jesus, I got you. Now go do stuff. Here's how to go do stuff. That's what the Live Local Field Manual was attempting to do. The Live Local Field Manual with action steps was attempting to put into practice biblical principles in the chaos of the day. And so I want to talk about how to destroy these bankers. I want to talk about how to destroy the government that's abusing and oppressing your rights. So we can talk about the geopolitical level, but think about this. Step back and recognize your natural desire to know about the geopolitical stuff and the national political stuff is part of the problem of how these bankers are able to swindle you. We all believe that we want to know about what's going on in the world at the top, at the highest level. Who are the billionaires that are involved? What are the policies and what's the government's doing and all this kind of stuff? Because we naturally put ourselves on the throne and then we say, okay, what's China doing? What's America doing? What's Saudi Arabia doing? And we've already projected all these monolithic undertones onto all of these aspects because it makes it easier for us to understand. And by simplifying these things, we are more apt to put ourselves higher and higher and higher and higher because we are able to simplify what is incredibly complex. And I'm here to say, I don't care about understanding the complexities of the committees and the societies and all the trade routes. When experts are communicating their expertise, I think what they're doing is they're actuating their pride so that people believe that they're smart. And so if someone's going to say something that's really complicated and really complex, what they're trying to do is intimidate you by showing off and saying how smart they are. And by doing that, you are either A, going to tacitly acquiesce and say, okay, that guy's smart, I'm going to listen to that guy. Or you're going to be like, this guy thinks he knows everything and I know better. In either case, you're not understanding what you should be doing about that thing. You are the master of the banks. You are the master of the government in America. You are not the master over all things. That's God. He's sovereign. He's king. He's on the throne. But you, one of the people in a common law country, because common law comes from the Bible, and the Bible recognizes that God gives blessing, and the blessing in a political lens is called a right. And so no one can take away what God has given you because he is good and no one else is. That the government in common law countries like America, as guaranteed in the Constitution, are for your rights. And you, as the people, have all the political power, which means you have the power over these banks. You have the power over government. You have the power over these things. Now it comes to the question, the way that I think about this is, how do you use it? How do I use this power? You can be talking about the Constitution, and you can be talking about we the people, and you can be talking about all sorts of different plans to take back the grassroots and win elections and to be in the GOP and be your committeeman in your state. Okay, amen. God bless. God bless you if that's what you want. I am more foxhole-ish. I am more take care of what God has given me. God gave me my life. He gave me the domain that I am in. He gave me my family. He gave me my property. He gave me this business. He gave me this show. He gave me this audience. God bless. I want to steward it. And here's how. You use the common law. You recognize that the bankers that are in charge of the Federal Reserve, that have bought off everything, that have the system that's completely constructing them, they still have to obey the law, the Constitution. But we, the people, haven't been educated on what that looks like, and we don't even know how to apply it. The first and foremost thing that I would do, and this is not economic advice, it's not financial advice, Jaron would put, and he did in the Live Local Field, get your money out of big banks. A big bank, I think, is defined by something like $2 billion in market cap or something. If you're in a bank that's so big that it's trading on the market, you're not in a bank. You're part of like an investment club. Like, you're just giving them the deposits, and those deposits, your money. And by this way, it's your money. They're not deposits. You go to a Black's Law Dictionary and you read what deposits is. A deposit means it's no longer yours. The deposit means it's the bank. And these are banker's words. These are lawyer words. These are legal words. But that's your money. So I don't want to get into the complexities between, money of exchange and money of account, because these bankers are freaking crooks. They're absolutely crooks. But the way that you could do it is you could say, you could learn to write a notice and tell your bank, I gave you my property. I gave you my property for you to steward it. And there's a way that you can write this, and this is what Live Local Field Manual 2.0 is going to be about, but there's a way that you can write that notice to where it's a contract. And that contract is law. And most state constitutions, I'm pretty sure every state, so the U.S. Constitution says that that no state shall make any law impairing the obligation of a contract. So if you learn how to contract with these entities, and there's impairment, if anything impairs these contracts, then it's unconstitutional. What you have now by giving your money as deposits to these banks, what you've done is you've signed their contract. You've signed what they have, and so you are in contract with them. And so the state can't be violating the contracts that they have. So if you've got more than $250,000 in a bank account, first of all, you need to buy some Humble Whole Bean Coffee at humblewb.coffee. And you need to be a Live Local member at livelocal.store. Amen. God bless. But the other thing is, if you've got all this money in these banks, you're according to their contract. You're no longer according to your property. You have subjected you've forfeited your rights. You put them to the side, and now you're interfacing with the bank. And I can already hear the people in the back that are starting to say, well, Jaron, where else am I going to put my money? I'm not suggesting that you put your money anywhere except for community banks and small private credit unions, amen. But I am saying you can contract with these guys. And the Live Local Field Manual 2.0, it's basically, listen, you respond to this contract or else you tacitly acquiesce to it. Part of the contracting world, part of the commercial law, is that if I send you a presentment, if I make you a contract, and it says in there, you agree by tacit acquiescence if you don't respond. Guess what? That becomes law. That becomes the contract. And so whenever your government is sending you bills, or your government is sending you updates, when your government is sending you anything in the mail, or as they've been cutting the corner recently, on email, if any government entity wants to get you to sign up for its email updates and not its paper mail, same thing for banks. Same thing for anybody. If anyone wants to get away from paper and onto email, they're screwing you. They're absolutely screwing you, because by getting you off of the mail, they've gotten you out of a system that's from the government that communicates, the post office. If you're no longer communicating the post office, now all your communications are on an email server, which is a private entity. Now all of your communications are in the realm that's completely the jurisdiction is 100% in the private. You're going to lose out all day. You're going to lose all day every day because it's 100% contractualized in the private. If they send it through the mail, that's a government entity. Now the government is helping and facilitate the communication. I don't know if this makes sense, but most people are going to be wanting to know what's going on with China. Well, I think, candidly, China overextended itself because they're a bunch of godless commies. They hate Jesus. They're trying to butcher their babies. They don't want people. They realize they screwed themselves, but they're also culturally patient. So they're going to employ their Belt and Road Initiative, but they need to do that quick. They need America to die fast, because China needs China to be seen by the world as the superpower. So China's going to be doing China, pro-China stuff. I believe the Silicon Valley Bank scandal swindle thing, according to this Financial Times article, was to screw a bunch of Chinese people out of their money. Was to screw a bunch of Chinese people out of their money using the Silicon Valley Bank that they were all kind of laundering their money through. So the people in charge of Silicon Valley Bank were just all of a sudden, you know what? They don't have the Silicon Valley Bank doesn't have the money. Oh no, banking system collapsed. The banking system's not going to collapse, folks. The banking system owns everything. The banking system fudges the numbers. The banking system doesn't have truth in lending. It doesn't have truth in accounting. It can fudge the numbers, and the Federal Reserve can literally print money out of nothing. There's nothing. The banking system isn't going to collapse. What probably will collapse is the price system through inflation, and the inflation is going to hurt you and me the most. That's what's going to happen. The banking system's not going to collapse. They're going to shore up more property. They're going to consolidate. As they consolidate and they shore up more property, they're going to become more powerful. And so if you are only listening to voices telling you to buy gold or telling you to buy some preparedness meals, then you're not listening to people talking to you about the wisdom of God and how it applies to the world. You're not. You are listening to people that are having you hunker down like rats in a corner. I don't want you to hunker down like rats in a corner. I want you to go on offense. I want you to attack. I want you to realize that your rights are being trespassed because, you know, the Congress is supposed to have fixed weights and standards for its currency. It doesn't do that. Well, how do you think that you're going to undermine the Rothschilds banking system? How about you just contract with them? How about you update that whenever they tacitly acquiesce to it? You got it. You got them. Now, there's certain ways you need to understand what this means. But if you go get a judgment, you go to ex parte summary judgment, Article 3 court, which is your district courts. You go to an arbitrator, for crying out loud. You go to arbitration and you say, here's the contract. Boom. There you go. An arbitration is good as a federal judgment. It's as good as a federal court saying, I'm in favor of you. Now, if you get that judgment, you get that conclusion, guess what? That's law. That is law. That's the law. So for all of these people that are sitting here going, they're taking your money, they're taking your money, they are taking your money. They absolutely are, because they're according to their contracts. You, as the people, have unlimited power to contract. Unlimited. It cannot be limited. You got to stand on your constitution, you got to know your rights, and you got to go fight. You actually have to go fight these godless commies. The second part of this Financial Times article, and this is where it really got to kick. Several China-based venture capital firms and some startups in their portfolios faced similar issues of not being able to access funds stuck in Silicon Valley Bank outside of China. The bank's collapse comes at a particularly tough time for Chinese groups raising foreign capital, with the ecosystem whipsawed by Beijing's tech crackdown, COVID-19 pandemic controls, and rising geopolitical tensions with Washington. Dollar investments in the country's startup fell by nearly three quarters last year. Silicon Valley Bank was especially popular among Chinese biotech groups that operated between the U.S. and China. More than a dozen tech and life sciences companies traded in Hong Kong list Silicon Valley Bank among their primary banks, potentially jeopardizing millions of dollars that was destined for long-term clinical development programs. Now, here's where this is. China doesn't care about God because they're communist. So a bunch of our stuff, a bunch of our production, a bunch of our infrastructure, and the manufacturing of the things that we care about, 98% of our pharmaceuticals are made in China. So if you're on any kind of prescription drug, 98% chance it's made over there. So now you've got this, which has been this relationship between China and America. America has benefited off of the fact that the Chinese government exploits its people. They don't care about their rights because they hate Jesus. And China has exploited the American system, which has robust economies, fruitfulness, profit motive, yields and incentives that they can't get in China. So this relationship's going on there, and now there's a divorce happening. This divorce that's happening is happening because now China believes that it's strong enough to punch over and take over America, and America is now flexing. This, I believe that this banker war is America flexing, saying we don't really care about the Silicon Valley Bank. We don't really care about these other banks. What we care about is the fact that the petrodollar in our Federal Reserve system is the thing that's controlling the world. And so whenever you see it like that, it comes down to, like, what are you going to do? You're just a normal random person. What do normal random people do to whenever all these big oligarchs and bankers are warring in the heavenlies? They're warring at levels that are so high above us. This is where, if you're an American, you praise God, you give him thanks, and you recognize he gave you a common law country. He gave you a constitution that enumerates your rights, and the entire law of the entire system is based on the preservation of your rights. And anyone in media telling you about buying gold or buying your preparedness meals or doing these things, they're giving you good advice, because that's better advice than leaving your money at, you know, in vulnerable positions to these godless commies. But they're not actually equipping you to go to war. They're not actually equipping you to assert your rights. They're not actually telling you anything that's useful. They're just telling you, stuff sucks, prepare. Okay, like, I get that. But that's what the Live Local Field Manual was for 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we were talking about that. 2 years ago, we were talking about preparedness and figuring out how to do stuff. Now it's time for offense. Now it's time to go attack. Now it's time to go on all. I mean, that's how I think, anyway. I'm tired of letting these godless commies who hate Jesus, who undermine the Constitution, who don't give a crap about you. I'm tired of letting them just continue to railroad people. So we're going to start using common law. We're going to start using God's wisdom. We're going to start speaking the truth about Jesus, the need for the gospel, and how that directly leads to better argumentation, better assertion of rights. And I don't see them as incompatible. I do believe that this is going to become an apologetic. I do believe that this is going to be a method of worshiping God in the sense that people will recognize God's wisdom for government is so much better than everybody else. And if God's wisdom is that good for government, that means that his wisdom and him pointing you to Jesus, that's what you really need to pay attention to. So it's not about just having good earthly effects and prosperity here on earth. That's the prosperity gospel. You believe that's it, you're going to go to hell. The most important part is you realize that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, buried 3 days later, he rose from the grave. You believe the gospel, he saves you. Now you get to apply God's wisdom to every situation. And I think one situation that needs God's wisdom more than anything, politics, government, and banking system. Amen. Now, I tried to download this. I don't know where it's at, but this article right here is a Fox News article. And this Fox News article, if you'll let me pull it up on the screen, is talking about how Joe Biden is going to be using his executive orders in order to, do something against guns. He wants to sign an executive order against guns. This is Biden to sign an executive order to require background checks on more gun sales. The executive order will increase background checks and prevent firearms dealers without licenses from selling guns. Now, there is one way that the conservative mind will hear this. The conservative mind will first hear this and say, Second Amendment, Second Amendment, he can't do that. Second Amendment, Second Amendment, Second Amendment. This is where the conservative media is failing you. Failing you. It's failing you because it's not about the Second Amendment. It's the presumption. See, we're missing this already. It's the presumption that the government can identify you. That's the issue. See, the government is not regulating firearms. The government is labeling people. That the people won't see this. The issue here is not the fact that it's requiring background checks on more gun sales. The issue here is that it prevents firearms dealers. Who is a dealer? What does a dealer mean? What does a dealer mean? If the government calls you a dealer, are you a dealer? Are you a dealer if the government calls you a dealer? Well, you'd be like, well, I hadn't really thought about it like that. And that's my point. My point is not that you are a dealer. My point is that the government is calling you a dealer. And maybe this fleshes it a little bit more. We read here, quote, President Biden is expected to announce an executive order on Tuesday that would expand background checks to more firearm sales by expanding the statutory definition of a firearms dealer. Hold on here. What is a statutory definition? A statutory definition is coming from a statute. What is a statute? A statute could be a law that goes through the legislative process. Remember the Craggle Rock or the Schoolhouse Rock or whatever, the little rolled up thing that's about, I'm just a bill and I'm sitting on Capitol Hill. I gotta go through the House and then the Senate. There's a process. And if your civics class is still worth anything, they would explain that process. And most Americans think that that's what happens. But every single power, every single statute has to be derived from a constitutional authority. Has to. The Constitution grants general powers to government entities, to government. The government takes those general powers and then specifies, here's what those powers are. So if the Constitution doesn't grant the government the general power, then the specified statutes, the specialized power, the specific powers that the government uses is unconstitutional. It's wrong. It can't happen. It is null and void. It is null from the beginning as though it has no effect. So we go back to our issue here. Whenever Biden is talking about expanding the statutory definition, there's a couple different things going on here. By executive order, not by the legislature, by executive order, Biden is scrawling on a pen and he's changing the law. Is that Article 4, Section 4, the guaranteed Republican form of government. Is that a Republican form of government? No, it's not. It's not a Republican form of government because it doesn't go through the Republican process to have a bill be made into law. So he's breaking the Constitution by just signing an executive order, using the power of the executive to change the law. But I want to get underneath that. I want to get underneath that because most Americans will say, well, he just signed an executive order, and executive orders are unconstitutional. Okay, I don't disagree with you there, but I don't think that's the most powerful argument. The most powerful argument here is the fact that you're calling me what? You're calling me a firearms dealer. Am I a firearms dealer? When God made Jaren, this is how you're supposed to think about it. When God made Jaren, does God say, here is firearms dealer, and his name will be Jaren? And so firearms dealer is granted the rights only limited by the executive orders from the White House. Is that how God thinks? Or does God say, here is Jaren, made in my image, and I'm going to call him to me through the gospel of Jesus Christ? He is given his personality, his glorious beard, all 10 of his fingers, and the ability to stand in pajama pants with sandals on his feet while he talks in a 10x12 shack. Amen. That's what God gives Jaren. Does the government have any role in that? The answer is no. Of course not. Of course not. So why are we letting the government tell us that we are firearms dealers? Why are we letting the government call us firearms dealers? This is what's called a bill of attainder. This is what's called a bill of attainder. And the reason why this is so pernicious is because if the government could call you something and then regulate that thing, if you fall underneath that category, then you, by virtue of, by extension, by the implicit power, you by implication have to obey the thing that they said. And so the government isn't violating your rights because the government is saying, if you're a firearms dealer, you have to do this. And then the people, because they don't think about the Constitution, they don't think about rights, they don't think about the fact that, well, I ain't no firearms dealer. What we do today, because we've been educated the way that we do, is we've been educated to be like, okay, I guess I'm not a firearms dealer because I don't sell guns. Well, but are you a firearms dealer if you do sell firearms? Why are you a firearms dealer again? Why are you not conducting commerce? Why are you not exercising the right to your property? Because if you're exercising the right to your property, can the government there make a specific power that limits your ability and your right to your property? Right to property is a very big umbrella term. It's not only that you can own stuff, but that you can do stuff with the stuff that you own. And so if I have a gun, like here's a bam, bam, bam. If I've got a firearm and I want to sell it to Joe Bubba down the street, I'm exercising my liberty to choose what to do with my property. God gave me my liberty, God gave me my property, and I'm choosing to use it to sell that person. Can the government come along and now call me a firearms dealer? Not by any kind of constitutional authority, they can't. Especially if they're going to change the statute unilaterally, depriving me my Republican form of government, Article 4, Section 4, where they can just fiat it away. In other words, you can't do this. Now, how would you respond to this? What would you do in the common law? This is where you would shoot a notice straight to your sheriff, straight to the ATF, and straight to Biden, and maybe even your attorney general. And you would say, listen, y'all guys are calling me a firearms dealer. God didn't make me a firearms dealer. I am exercising my property. I'm exercising my liberty to conduct commerce. Show me, here you go, show me your constitutional powers and authorities to limit my right to property. Show me that. If you can't show me where the Constitution gives you the ability to limit my right to property, my right to liberty, then what you are doing is you're trespassing on my rights. And if you're trespassing on my rights and you swore an oath to the Constitution, you're breaking your oath. If you break your oath, you're out of power. And if you do so maliciously, then it's a felony. If you have a felony to commit fraud of the American people, guess what? You're going to go to jail. Now, why would you go to jail? Because you're messing with my rights, bro. Now that is a bristling porcupine of an American citizen. That is a bristling porcupine of the application of God's wisdom in a very peaceful way to assert the rights to limit government. That's the American way. We don't talk like this. We don't do this because people aren't willing to look to the Bible first. They're not willing to let Jesus tell them how to think. what they're doing is they're going to say, Joe Biden just signed a piece of paper, and now I don't ha- now I can't do what it is that I'm freely able to do. Who's God in that situation? Now, one video that I want to point out, and did I do this? I'm sorry, I'm on the fly right now. You know what happens when I'm on the fly? When I'm on the fly, I don't do what I need to do. I do what I don't want to do. Romans chapter 7. Let me punch this real fast. Let me save this Trump video, because I want to talk about President Trump. I want to talk about President Trump if I can. And there it goes. Okay, good. So I want to play this video, and commentary follows.
Long before Ron DeSantis got there, people are fleeing from New York to Florida and other places because of high taxes and out-of-control crime. It's really bad. Not because of the governor. Thank you, Mr. President, for doing that. But it's not because of the governor. Florida was doing fantastically. You had a governor named Rick Scott who did a very good job. Even Charlie Crist, a Democrat, did a good job, and he had very good numbers. Sunshine and ocean are very alluring. It's not too hard to work with those factors. So just remember, Florida was doing really well long before Ron DeSantis got there.
All right, that is President Trump's new video that he came out. I want to talk about that if I can. The presidential race for 2024 is shaping up. I am firmly in President Trump's corner, going to vote for him. I want him to win. Amen. For me, and again, the caveats are I don't like the results of 2020 because, not that I don't like them, it's because I believe that they're fraudulent. I also think that President Trump was wrong to not be so clear on the shot. I also don't like the fact that he didn't lock things down. He propped up Fauci and all that. Like, I don't like those things. And I was voicing those things at that time. So this isn't hindsight stuff. This is Jaron was vocal at that time. I also don't like President Trump supporting or saying that he's going to be fighting for homosexuality and the LGB folks, because I just think that's anathema. It's not only wrong in God's word, it's sin. Sodomy is a sin, but it's also wrong from an American perspective. You're not going to get a good country if you're supporting sodomy. It's just not going to happen. God's not going to bless things that he hates. And he hates that. He hates sin. And if you're just going to openly endorse sin as a political agenda, God's not on your side. God's not on your side. What I do, because my bias, and I'll say this clearly, my bias is for President Trump because I believe that he's a nationalist bulwark against the globalists. So if you look at the options that I see in 2024 on the Republican side, because our two-party system is designed, I don't see any other option on the Republican side that's worth anything. So now the analysis on President Trump to DeSantis, what's going on? What's going on here? Why is Trump taking all these pot shots at DeSantis? DeSantis, I believe, is the most, you know, polished version of controlled opposition that would have any opportunity to go against Trump. DeSantis is Trump, he is a Trump alternative packaged for people who like Trump's policies but want Mitt Romney's behavior. And so if you want Mitt Romney's behavior but Trump's policies, DeSantis is kind of this, Goldilocks, it's just right. He's got just enough, he presents himself as just enough of Trump's policies, and he's just enough of Romney's behavior. And what I really want to get to is, I love my country more than I care about the conduct and the behavior of my president being nice. Cross apply to Jesus. Jesus was not nice, he was loving. Jesus was very compassionate. He was perfectly compassionate. Jesus was very considerate, perfectly considerate. But if you were prideful, if you were screwing people over, if you were just being a dastardly, evil person, he didn't put up with your crap. And he made sure of it so much so that they freaking killed him, okay? Jesus was not nice. He was loving. He was not safe. He was good. There's a difference. This world is full of evil. This world, our objective here is not to get rid of, you know, evil or violent or unsafe things. Our objective is, despite the evil, despite the unsafe things, and despite those things, to bring good to that. Paul writes Romans 12:21, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is where Christians need to bring the gospel. If Christians were bringing the gospel, there would be way more attention on the fact that some Christians were killed in the streets, or the fact that societies and civilizations were just living in peace and prosperity because Christ's wisdom and God's wisdom works. Or it's the fact that there's nations that are crumbling because the underground Christian church is growing and it's forcing the country to topple over, like I believe will happen in China. So then we get to Trump. Trump is a jerk. He's the jerk we need. Trump is a complete machismo. He's the machismo and the masculinity we need. Absolutely, no doubt in my mind. And the reason why this is the case is because even though he's been wrong on, I believe, on several huge things, he is the only one that brought bravado and common speak to the issues. He doesn't care about, you know, coming off the right way. And for me, that's a big part. Because a lot of people in America, let me step on some toes. A lot of Christians in America, I believe, are cowards. Not all of them, but they're cowards in the sense that they're not willing to call sin, sin. They're not willing to put themselves on the line to be called an anti-Semite for saying Jews need to believe the gospel or else they're going to go to hell, which is the same for Muslims or Hindus or anybody else. Christians have been cowards to bring the offensive message of the gospel in ways that contrast with the world. This doesn't mean you have to be a jerk. I'm not saying Christians need to behave like Donald Trump at all. The guy's, he's multiple wives, all kinds of, not that at all. But we're supposed to be bringing people to the gospel. We're supposed to be bringing people to Jesus. And I don't think that we have. I think that in the 1980s, and I was born in 85, so if I'm wrong, clear me up. Tell me I'm wrong. The moral majority was Christians, generally the greatest generation at the time. The greatest generation recognized their country was on a downslope, and so they got involved with politics, and they said, we need to vote for Republicans to use the government to defend our values. And I think that was the beginning. Maybe it's not the beginning, but that was certainly an act of, I will call it, idolatry. Because what it did was it said, we need the government to institute our values. Jesus doesn't need government to guard his wisdom. He doesn't need your politicians and your Republicans and conservatism to vote into law stuff that allows Christians to do what they do. If you're in Christ, you bring the gospel anywhere and you get your head lopped off. Amen. God bless you. We don't need permission to obey God. We don't need Republicans in office in order to make laws that are suitable for our values. No, what you do is you exercise common law. You stand on your rights because that's God's wisdom. And even if they take all that away and they put you to the gun or they put you on the plantation or they chop your head off, then you're going to do it without asking permission because you serve God and not government. You serve God and not man. Meet your master. The master is the Almighty. And here comes Trump. I believe Trump. Trump has confessed a faith in Jesus Christ. Trump is not, I have not seen signs of sanctification from Trump. Not that would be requisite if someone who's actually pursuing Christ. At the same time, I believe that Trump has said that he believes the gospel. He's mentioned the gospel. He said the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is essential. He said that on December 19, 2021, or 2022, one of the two. 2021. The issue, I don't doubt Trump's salvation. That's not my point. It's that Trump is the weapon that America needs to smash all this stuff. And if Christians aren't going to be doing it themselves, what option is there? And so I don't want to disrespect Trump by saying, this is the bottom of the barrel. At the same time, with the system we have, the direction we have, there's no one better than President Trump to run as a Republican and to win. Notwithstanding the cheap machines, the mules, the algorithms, and all those types of things. So President Trump making this video against Ron DeSantis. He says DeSanctimonious. Now he's saying DeSantis. He's trying to figure out that label. He's discrediting DeSantis because DeSantis got an office because Trump endorsed him. And DeSantis kind of had a full deck of cards. He's got the oceans. He's got the sunshine. He's got a bunch of conservative retirees that just want to don't touch my money, don't tax my stuff. So he's got a lot of, you know, got a lot of aces, you know, in his hand, kind of built in to being the governor of Florida. I mean, the governor of Minnesota ain't making a presidential run anytime soon. You know what I'm saying? Or Alaska. The point that I'm trying to make is that Trump going after DeSantis is Trump seeing DeSantis' threat. I believe the threat of DeSantis is that he's that Goldilocks hodgepodge of he's got Romney's behavior and he's got Trump's policies. And so there are people pitching DeSantis, and just I'll just straight up say my bias is get out of Trump's way. Get out of Trump's way. The Republican Party is the party of Trump. America absolutely needs to be nationalistic. We need to be unashamed and unapologetic to say we want to put our country first. We do not want to put other countries before our country. We don't want to put the people in other countries before the people in our country. We don't want globalism. We don't want big, massive banks. We don't want the military-industrial complex. We want closed borders. We want deported illegals. We don't want our babies butchered in the wombs. We don't want our public schools to confiscate tax money to turn around and tell young minds how to hate their skin color, their country, and their gender. We don't want those things. We want a country that's based on what the Bible says. The Bible says God is God and we are not. That's item number one. The Bible says that we don't come from monkeys. We come from God. He made us. Stop buying Darwinian presuppositions. Stop giving your lexical language and the ability to shape our language and our understanding to people who hate Jesus that are going to come up with big fancy words for stuff like sin or idolatry or greed or stealing. We don't need big fancy Ivy-towered Harvard-educated people with degrees on the walls telling us that we're podunk and stupid, bitter clingers to our gods and our guns. We need you to get out of our face, leave us alone, let me keep the money and let me keep the wealth that I make because God blesses the fruitfulness of my labor because he's good and not because government permits it, right? You get out of my family's face, don't talk to me, don't touch me, don't yell at me, shut up and leave me alone. That's what I want. Leave me alone. Let me love my family. Let me work in my community. Let me tell people about Jesus without giving me crap that I'm overshouting some woman who's trying to be escorted from her car to the front of a Planned Parenthood as she butchers her baby as part of an industrialized satanic worship of the underworld. Don't tell me, though, don't cite me those things. Don't cite me the statutes or the penalties or the punishments. Like, we're going to use the Bible to live the way that we should. And I want the most vicious, rabid dog in office at any level, whether it's dog catcher, sheriff, state rep, state senator, governor, president, whatever. If you are violating my rights, I just want to say, sick 'em. Sick 'em. Go get 'em. And I want that that rights violators to be like those padded, you know, person with the dog on the arm. And they're just like, scram, get him off, get him off, get him off. That's what I want. Sick the dogs, release the hounds. President Trump is a vicious, vicious animal. Sick him. Let him loose. Amen. Now I want to play a video for you. Commentary follows. Watch this. People who weren't able to see, watching, or listening from the podcast, first of all, thank you. Links in the description below if you ever want to watch me and see my glorious beard as I do this live. Amen. 11 a.m. Central. This video was a video of a dude standing, obviously not American because he's got some not American accent. He's got funny money, which I guess we have funny money too. He's standing on a sidewalk. There's people walking by him, and he's holding a white plaster or white poster, and the poster says, "I have depression and anxiety. I need somebody to talk to." And people read it and they just walk by. People actually like turn their heads and read the stuff and then just keep walking. And then he flips it, and on the other side of the poster board it says free money, and it's got money taped to the sign. And then, whereas before, whenever it's the anxiety is displayed to the public, people just walk by him. Now that he switched it over and it's free money, people are going to stop by and they've got smiles and they're taking the money from him. The subtext here is that people only care about the stuff that they care about. No one's going to care about someone who's got anxiety, which is weirdly standing in the middle of the road saying they want to talk to somebody. But if it's free money, might as well take it. Couple different things. This is obviously a contrived social media situation. So I'm not going to completely take the bait and say that people wouldn't be like this, because whenever you're in a crowd, you have the bystander effect. And the bystander effect, if someone is standing there with a poster board that says, I have anxiety and depression, I need someone to talk to, is that a thing that someone who has depression and anxiety would do? If you have depression and anxiety, would you go out in public with a white poster board with that written on the thing and just stand there? Right? Like, that's the behavior doesn't befit the claim. So if you claim you have depression and anxiety, are you going to go out in public and with the poster board say that you have depression and anxiety, you just want to talk to somebody? So that's just disingenuous from that perspective. So I would lessen the culpability of the people walking by, because if I walked by a dude and he said that, then I'd probably do that too. I'd be like, what are you talking about? Are you really depressed? Are you trying to make a video? And then I'd look for the camera. Oh, that got you. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, big dogs. But then there's obviously the truth of it, and that's when he flips it to the money. Well, are you really giving free money? Are you really giving free money? Yeah, of course. Boom, done. Especially whenever you see somebody do it and other people start to follow suit. So all that aside, I want to get to the idea that you should love your neighbor. That's what it just comes down to. You should love your neighbor. I believe following Christ is always the right way to go. I believe that that's the right way to go. I also believe that following Jesus will get you, well, obviously it will love other people, but I believe it will stand out. I believe that God will work through that. Whenever other people see it, they'll say, well, that's not normal. Because the way of Christ is not the way of the world. John 7:7, Jesus says, the world doesn't hate you, it hates me, because I testify that its deeds are evil. So by Jesus, by being Jesus, teaching Jesus, and living as though we're following Jesus, the world's going to take notice. Now, a lot of the world will hate us. Absolutely, a lot of the world will hate us. But that doesn't mean that what we do is wrong. It doesn't mean that what we do isn't necessary. But also, that's how God works. God can work through us obeying Him to call other people to Himself. In other words, you may not know, but how did you first come to Jesus? How did you first come to the gospel? If you haven't, you know, listen, amen. We'll get to the gospel in a second. We all came here because we were told. Either we were told by what the Bible says, or we saw somebody's behavior. We heard it in church. Bad stuff was happening in our life, and we called out to Jesus because we thought that, you know, hey, I might as well give it a shake, you know, whatever. We all got here because somehow someone was telling us about Him. Somehow. And that, in my mind, is what I want to be doing all the time. Whether that's taking care of people that have depression and anxiety, or if that's making a profitable business and then using portions of the proceeds to go spread His gospel and His word through other means. I always want to be at work for Jesus, because the most important message is the gospel. The gospel is that you and I are sinners. We broke God's law and we deserve God's wrath. God has promised His wrath, and on judgment day, at the end of all the things, He's going to judge. So if you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you say yes, that's because you believe the gospel and you know Jesus. If you say, I don't know, I don't believe in that, no, of course I wouldn't do that, then you are going to go to hell. You're not going to go to hell because you don't believe in Jesus. You're going to go to hell because you've sinned against God. And this is the message the world doesn't like. The world does not like to be told of their sin. They hate it, because telling you of your sin tells you that you are not God. And what you do is not perfect. And if you are not God and what you do is not perfect, then that means that someone else is God and someone else is something that's perfect. And God tells us that He is God. God tells us that His ways are higher than our ways, and His ways are good and they're just and they're perfect. So we read the Bible, we learn about Jesus, and we recognize, holy crap, I'm a failure. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to hell for my pride, for my, the porn addiction I had in the army, doing all sorts of horrible things. I'm a sinner. And just because I don't do some of these things as I used to do those things, doesn't mean I didn't do those things. So even though I'm 37 and it's been years since I've done things, doesn't mean that God, who's never had a beginning and never will have an end, doesn't believe from his perspective that that didn't just happen, right? So from an infinite perspective, my sin that happened years ago is to God as though it's happening right now because time doesn't matter to him. From this perspective, when Jesus came and lived on earth, he walked a perfect life. He lived a perfect life, sinless, virgin born because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, as was promised through the scriptures. Because he lived a sinless life, whenever Jesus took the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, which is the greatest attested fact in antiquity, by the way, when Jesus took the cross, he was killed in our place. He received God's wrath instead of us. So I'm going to die, you're going to die, because the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But when we die, when I stand before God, God's not going to see Jaron. God's going to see Jesus. And Jesus, because he's good and he's loving and he took the wrath for my sin on the cross, is going to say, he's mine, God. Look at him. He's wearing my robe. He's wearing my robe of righteousness, as though Jaron lived Jesus' perfect life. Well, Jaron didn't live Jesus' perfect life. Jaron is a sinner. But Jaron gets the robe of righteousness from Christ because Christ is that good. And when God sees Christ's robe on Jaron, he's going to say, come on in. Be a co-heir. Be with me. Be in my family forever. I love you. Likewise, when Jesus took the cross, God is outside of time. So time doesn't matter to him. So whenever Jesus is on the cross and his hands are pierced, his feet are pierced, the blood is coming out of him just because it's so bloody and gruesome, when he's wearing that crown of thorns, God is punishing Jesus knowing all the sins that Jaron's ever going to commit. So 2,000 years into the future, Jaron Jackson's going to live and Jaron's going to have a whole lot of sin, a ton of sin. And God's going to punish every single one of those sins for infinity, for eternity in the lake of fire. Instead, he took all that and he poured it out on Jesus. But he did it for everybody. When you believe the gospel, it is as though Jesus took your punishment. It is as though Jesus took everything that you deserve. That's why it's necessary to believe the gospel. Because whenever you die and you don't believe the gospel, you don't have Jesus' robe. You're not credited the life that he lived. You are responsible and you are guilty for the life that you are living right now. This is why you believe the gospel. The gospel is that he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and 3 days later he rose from the grave. His death, his burial, his resurrection. Believe the gospel and you will be saved. Amen. Folks, thank you for watching. I really do appreciate it. I'd ask that you be a monthly member at livelocal.store. I say this every day, but I mean it. This is my job. This is the ministry. This is what we're doing. If you like what I do, commercial free, promo code free, the listeners are 100% support. I am 100% supported by the listeners. God owns the microphone. The gospel is going to be the subject. We take global events, world events, cultural events, and bend them back to the scriptures. This is what I believe that, you know, I was called to do, I'm supposed to do. It's also what I believe that Christians are supposed to be doing in their daily walk. You might not be able to articulate like I can, and God bless you. That's not the point. The point is you need to, in your head, be thinking about what does the Bible say about this issue? What does the Bible say about this thing? That's what I want to try to communicate. That's what I think that we need to be doing as Christians. So I'd ask you to please support me at livelocal.store. They've got hats, they've got hoodies, they've got t-shirts. We've got the Live Local Field Manual with over 1,000 specific action steps that you can take to give yourself better resiliency in this time of chaos. Livelocal.store, livelocal.store. Also, we've got 100% air-roasted coffee. It's delicious, not bitter. Portions of proceeds goes to mailing Bibles around the country. It's my clandestine effort to send the word of God to America because I want America to get back to Jesus. This air-roasted premium coffee is not like 99% of coffees. 99% of coffees, they put it in a metal drum, they spin it around, they set it on fire. It's burnt, it's bitter. Then they load it up with a bunch of fake preservatives that give it flavor because they just burned all the flavor off. That's what 99% of coffee companies do. Air roasted coffee, Humble whole bean coffee at humblewb.coffee. humblewb.coffee. Get your air roasted coffee. Thank you. God bless you. I will be back tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, I am Jaron Jackson. I do love America. Don't quit. Go to war.